Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Thank you for being here with us in person here at Grace Point Church, also online. We have a lot of people that join us online, so we're thankful that you are here in person and also watching online and worshiping with us today. In just a moment, I'm going to go to Colossians 1, verse 23, verse by verse through Colossians this year. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're still just kind of taking apart verse 23. So we'll get back there in just a minute, and we're going to look at stable and steadfast is what Paul is telling the Colossians and telling us to be also when storms crash in around us. But before we get there, let me make a couple of announcements just to keep you in the loop. First of all, let me talk elder nominations. So elder nominations are still open here at Grace Point Church. We are an elder-led church. We have seven elders. Two will be rotating off after serving for their three-year term. Kenny Williams and Brian Stone serve faithfully, so they'll be rotating off at the end of this year. And so then you as a church now nominate two men to take their place. So if you are a church member, Grace Point church member, let me encourage you to go to our website, gracepointdenton.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see elder nominations. You click on that. There'll be a letter from me just explaining kind of the elder structure and that we are an elder-led church and what that looks like. Then you have biblical qualifications of elders, and you have the responsibilities of elders biblically. And then there's a nomination form, and you can fill that out and then just send that, and it comes straight to me in my office. I'll take that to the elder meeting, and we'll discuss and pray over that. I'll be at our next meeting next weekend and pray over the next two that we'll serve. So if you haven't done that, let me encourage you to do that if you're a Grace Point church member. Second, Christmas is coming. I like to be out in front of that. I like to do a Christmas series every year. And so this is the Christmas series I'm going to do this year. It's called Timeless. I'm going to talk to you every Sunday in December. We're going to talk about the timeless truths of Christmas. There'll be each one in each Sunday, and then leads us right up to Christmas Eve. We'll talk more about Christmas Eve times in the next couple of weeks, but leads us right up to Christmas Eve. So that's coming in December as we kind of start through November and then finish up with First Colossians chapter 1 by the end of in November, the next few weeks, okay? All right, just want to get that information to you so you're thinking that Christmas series. Also, we had a great turnout for our harvest, our fall harvest, last Sunday night, afternoon and evening. We had to change a little bit, kind of pivot, because we couldn't do the big one out here in the field, so we did a drive-through. Julie Richardson, Christy Dorman, Wendy Orozco, Emily Henson all led that, did a great job, great turnout. Thank you for you, those of you who came and served and helped. Thank you so much. If you weren't able to be there, they put together a video just to give you a little bit of a snapshot of what it was like. So here we go. Thank you, ladies, for putting that together. Thank you all for helping. It's a great ministry event for Grace Point Church. So thank you for being a part of just another opportunity to encourage one another. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. We spent a number of weeks on this first phrase, following along, if not on the screen behind me. Colossians 1, 23, if indeed you continue in the faith. Now, we set that up. We're going to go back in just a minute and kind of set that up. But he just talks about their position in Christ, our position in Christ. So he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. Now, that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we do that? How do we remain stable and steadfast in the midst of the storms and the circumstances and the difficulties in a broken world in which we live? When people try to pull us away, when false teachers in the book of Colossians try to pull them away from the truth, how do we stay stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard? Okay, so that's going to be next week. So we kind of dug in and dialed in on continuing the faith these last few weeks. One of the questions I shared with you a couple weeks ago that God keeps bringing to my mind, I hope he does for you too, is when you face difficult situations or circumstances, like we talked about and the disciples did on the water, that you're asking, God's bringing to your mind, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Not, why don't you have any, but it's, where is it? Is it in you? Is it in the boat for them? Is it in myself? Where is that faith? It needs to be, and we talked about that we start to get afraid, fear, when it's in ourselves or anything other than our faith in God. Now, as I said also to you, that sometimes, you know, this, when he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, so I circle the word if, which presupposes, implies that may not. There are probably some Colossians that weren't. So he's saying, if indeed you continue in the faith, and we talked about what pulls people away from the faith. Well, other people can do that. Difficult circumstances, unanswered prayers, a number of different things that can cause people to be pulled away from the faith and no longer show up in church on a Sunday morning. Event or circumstance, a loss, something that happened. And it can impact all of us, certainly. Maybe you're dealing with that. Maybe you hear, maybe you're watching with, worshiping with us online. Maybe you're at that place where I'm just struggling in my faith. Let me share Galatians 5, verse 7 with you. You don't have to turn there, but Paul says, You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And the NIV says it this way. You were running a good race. He's talking about their faith. You were doing well. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? You know what that tells me? That tells me that sometimes people keep us from continuing in the faith. People can keep us from progressing forward in the faith. Circumstances also can certainly do that. So with the Colossians, he was writing to them because there were false teachers coming in trying to pull them away from the faith and the truth of the gospel. So how then do we be, how are we to be stable and steadfast so we are not pulled away from the truth of the gospel by culture, by people, by circumstances? What is it that we must do? And that's what this is this morning, what I'll share with you this morning of how we do that. Takeaway number one, if you're taking notes, here's the first thing. So we're going to lay the foundation. Then we're going to talk about even some more practical things that we have to do, what the Bible teaches for us to be able to be stable and steadfast, especially in the midst of storms, controversy, difficult circumstances that tend to pull us away. Takeaway number one is this. First of all, you must know in whom you are standing, number one. That's where we start. Now, Colossians, I'm going to go back up, just do two verses, okay? Colossians 21 and Colossians 22, chapter 1. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Now here you are. This is you positionally in Christ. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Right? So that tells me that I stand holy, blameless, and above reproach because of Jesus. Amen? That's in Christ. That is who we are. That is where we stand. So we stand on that truth. That is our foundation. That is who you are in Christ. That is how God sees you. And that is where you stand. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 and 2 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Know in whom you're standing. To be stable and steadfast, that's where it starts, of who we are in Christ, and we stand on the truth in Christ and on God's word. Now, if you're taking notes, I just put that on there, stable and steadfast. What it means, it refers to their own conviction, we talked about a couple weeks ago, and persistence in the act of believing and being faithful. So it's talking about living out your faith, stable and steadfast. Now, these two words, they're metaphors of strength and security, and they're used in connection with the house. So the idea is a firm foundation. Some translations say established and steadfast. So he's saying, in Christ, the Word of God, continuing in the faith, that's a solid foundation that you're on right now. Don't move off that. Others are going to tell you some different things. But be stable and steadfast on this truth of who you are in Christ, 21 and 20, or 22. And we stand on that. That is your foundation. So the Colossians, man, they were saved. They knew Jesus, and they had been placed on this foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, let me read this to you. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Now, he's talking about your life and my life, what we're building it on. Founded on the rock. So we're stable and steadfast. Our life is built on our relationship in Christ and the truth of God's word. And the initial grounding is a once and for all act on the part of God that he's done in Christ permanently. So we can stand there. Now, again, what the adversary wants to do, what Satan wants to do, is to pull you away from that truth. And to get you out here, away from that foundation, so then when the storms hit, you have a hard time surviving. Your faith is not secure and stable because you've moved away from this foundation. So why is he telling them this?
Because they were facing people who were trying to pull them away. They would face circumstances that would try to pull them away. They would face a culture like we do that would try to pull us away from the truth of the gospel, from the truth of God's word. There's this battle that goes on. So Charles Spurgeon, great theologian, writes this about it. He says, the battle does not end when by a desperate rush a man has come to Christ. In many, it assumes a new form. The enemy now attempts to pull the believer from his refuge and eject him from his stronghold. It is difficult to get at the hope of the gospel. We're going to talk about this next week. But quite as difficult to keep it so as not to be moved away from it. If Satan spends great power in keeping us from the hope, he uses equal force in endeavoring to move us, to pull us away from it. And equal cunning in endeavoring to lure us from it. Therefore, he says and finishes with this, the apostle tells us not to be moved away from the gospel. The exhortation is needed in the presence of imminent danger. Between here and heaven, you will always have to fight more or less. And frequently, the severest struggle will be at a time when you are the least prepared for it. There is, he says, but a short space between one battle and another in this world. For the believer, it is a series of skirmishes. So because of that, broken, fallen world, spiritual warfare, we're going to talk about that in a minute, Ephesians 6, that we want to be, as he's saying here, be stable and steadfast. It starts with know in whom you are standing, right? It's not in your own strength, right? This is who I am in Christ, and then I stand on the Word of God as a believer in Christ. That's where it starts. Number two, takeaway number two is this. Remember what God has already done in you and for you. Let's not forget that. Now, you go right back up to verse 21 and 22, and you see theologically, that's where it starts, what he's done for us. And then we'll move from there, but that's foundational. We see what he's done for us. He has now reconciled, verse 22, in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So remember what God has already done in you and for you. Let's start with that, with the gospel, with salvation. Let's just remember that and remember this truth that the Bible is clear. Colossians 1:22, John 3:16, many other passages. The gospel is clear. The Bible is clear that as believers in Christ, I can know, I can stand firm and steadfast in the truth that when my time on this earth is done, because of my faith in Christ, I will go directly in the presence of God forever to a place called heaven. Amen? Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. I mean, that is huge. That is secure. We don't have to wonder. Like so many people who don't know Christ, fear it. We have that truth. We have that promise. We have that, what God has done for us in Christ. Colossians 1:22. So we stand on that truth, man. We stand firm in that. And because of that, that keeps me from being pulled away because of this truth. Remember what he's done. That's what Paul's telling them right there. You were once alienated. Now, this is how God sees you in Christ. And then he says, I think they should remember, because he talks about in the first part of Colossians, remember what he's doing in you. Remember how he's changing you. If you go to Colossians, if you go up to verse 3 and 4, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ, of the love that you have for all the saints, and because of this hope laid up for you in heaven. So remember this, when I talked about this, Paul's saying, hey, this is what the gospel is doing in your life. Don't forget it, he's saying. Be stable and steadfast. Stand firm right there, because remember, not only do we have salvation in Christ, but also now he's transforming us. And these people, he said, I've heard about your faith, your hope, and love. So he's changed them. He's shaped them. Hey, where would you be today without him? What would your life be like, you think, without him? What would your personality be like? What would your temper be like? What would your fear be like? What would your marriage be like? What would your life be like without him? What do you think your life of your kids would be like? If you didn't know Christ, and so you did not share the gospel, they did not receive, so their life's not been transformed, what would that be like? You see, so God is unto salvation, has done this work in us and for us because of Jesus, but he's transforming you and me. And that causes us to be stable and steadfast because of the truth of what we have experienced, what he has done for us, and what he has done in us. I just think we would all agree that we are living in the goodness of God, that he has been good to us. So remember, that helps us to be stable and steadfast. Remember what he's done in us, and remember what he's done for us. Look how far you've come. I'm not saying we don't have a long way to go. We all, until Philippians 1, until the day of Jesus, he's going to keep transforming us. But let's not forget, that's what Paul is reminding them of. Hey, remember what he's doing in you and he's done in you. Remember that. Takeaway number three. We must, to be stable and steadfast, we must fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this, fight the good fight of the faith. So we can pause there for just a moment. And do you
Just that right there tells us much about the Christian life. Wouldn't you say? Fight the good fight for the faith. It tells you it's just not going to come easy. We'll talk about that in a minute. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I read an article this past week. I just took an excerpt from it, from this girl who was, she's just writing about her battle and with the adversary and complacency and how it's easy to be kind of pulled away. So she says this from that article. She says, "It's almost frightening how quickly I embraced the thought. It was early evening. My husband had just come home from work, and in the swirl of conversation and formulation of plans, I had a suggestion. It was something we could implement as a couple for the benefit of our marriage. But we've been down that road before, whether it was weekly date nights, nightly couple devotions, or co-reading an edifying book. We'd take it up with vigor, start down the path, and watch it fizzle, interrupted by life. So the thought came easily then. What's the use? I embraced it and kept quiet. That same evening, though, the Lord made me uncomfortable with my posture. As I prayed and pondered, I realized that I was giving ground to the enemy. Instead of standing firm, stable, and steadfast, and looking to the Lord to shore up this area in my life, I'd given up, retreated. I may as well have announced that I would no longer occupy this ground in my marriage. Here, enemy, she writes, you can have it. And so what happens is we forget that we're at war. Fight the good fight. The implications of that. Those thoughts, she goes on to say, that she knew were from the adversary. And so we do the same. We stop fighting. And it may be that you've surrendered to mediocrity in your marriage. This is just the way it's going to be, and you've stopped fighting. Maybe you've surrendered to anxiety. Maybe you've surrendered to worry. Maybe you've surrendered to fear. Maybe you've surrendered to the idea that you'll never have the relationship with your son or daughter or mom or dad or brother, sister, whatever that you want. And you've just kind of surrendered that. Or you've surrendered to the idea that you'll never find peace, or you'll never have victory over this particular struggle or that particular stronghold. And when we do that, I've done it, we've given ground to the enemy because we've given up. We stopped fighting. Now, when I talk about fighting, clearly, you know, I'm not talking about conflict with others. I'm talking about we stopped fighting through prayer. We stopped fighting through seeking. We stopped fighting through hoping. We stopped fighting through believing. We stopped fighting through worship. We stopped fighting through pursuing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, share in suffering as a good soldier. Soldier. Fight the good fight as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So we have to take up this soldier stance in our faith if we're going to be stable and steadfast, stand firm, and be willing to fight the good fight. So let me give you three things in terms of how do we fight the good fight, which then moves us to be stable and steadfast. There's three things. I'll go fairly quickly through these. Number one, here's the first thing. To fight the good fight, 2 Timothy 2, 3, we have to first... You must first fight for your family. Don't give ground. Don't give ground to the enemy in your family. Ephesians 6 is clear. We've talked about it. I don't know how many times, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So as a soldier of Jesus, our posture should not be one of retreat.
We must stand firm, and we must fight for our family. We fight for our marriage. We fight for our children, and we pray for our children. We fight that way for their hearts and for their minds because we remember that we are at war, and so we have to fight for that. And so as you're doing that, and I know it gets tiring at times, I mean, especially when our four were younger and we're continuing to teach them truths and we're continuing to have them embrace, you know, the word and have them grow in their faith and let them, and they just get tired of that sometimes and they push back on that. And then as they get older, the separation from them as Christ followers and those that are not gets greater. And then that's when everybody else gets to do it, but I don't type of thing happens. That's when you got to choose, you know, what are you going to fight for here? What are you going to stand for here? And that's when we have to fight for our family, and we have to fight for truth. We have to fight for the hearts of our kids, even when you're tired. What happens is, I've been there with my four, I mean, sometimes you get tired, and you know what you do? Like, this is like the 150th time you've asked me to go out with that group of kids, and I'm so tired. Just go and come back safely. If anything happens, don't call me. Type of thing, right? And you give ground. And I know it's, you know, it can make you weary, and it can make you tired. But when we know what is truth, we must stand. So we must not compromise on those things. As hard as that is, I know in raising kids and holding that standard high, but that's fighting for our family. Not that we don't give ground in any way. One writer says it this way, apathy is a flaming arrow. Its poison leads to a posture of retreat. We must learn to recognize such deadly thoughts and reject them. Rather than giving ground, we must stand firm in the Lord's strength. So we fight first for our family and let God, you know, reveal that to you. That maybe you're good there and that's good, but, you know, part of this is just allowing God to show you if maybe, as he has me this week in preparing, you know, are there areas that I've given ground to the enemy? And if there are, what are those? Let God speak to you about that. And then you take that back. Maybe kids, it's good. Maybe you're good in that area. Maybe it doesn't apply to you, but maybe there's something else that you have given ground. So the first, we fight for our family. Second, you have to fight for your faith. And what I mean by that is your progression of your faith, really, and standing firm and stable. You have to fight for that because there's so many things that are going to try to pull you away from that in this culture, in this world, and not to mention the adversary. But Colossians 1:23, which we've talked about this last couple weeks, if indeed you continue in the faith. So let's just be clear, and I'm not saying this to discourage or to defeat or anyway, but let's just be clear up front. I always want to make sure I'm clear on this, is that the Christian life is not an easy calling. You understand that, right? It's not an easy calling. I mean, it's not obey God, and if you obey God, all your prayers will be answered perfectly. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more struggle. There will be no more pain. Your children will worship you. The job will always promote you, and you'll have healing every time you say all that stuff. There's a place where that's going to happen. You know what that place is called? Heaven. And this ain't it. And so don't think that if I simply obey, then all is well. We're still going to have struggles and difficulties. You know that. Now, let me say this, dialing even closer to your faith. To understand that as a soldier, Paul says, in fighting the good fight, you understand that just even to stand stable and steadfast, I'm not even talking about taking ground, just to stand stable and steadfast in this world, you must fight for that. It is not going to happen naturally. You're not going to do it naturally. I don't. I have to fight for it. I'm a pastor. I have to fight for it every day. There's too much in this world that will try to pull you away and will be successful. You will not stand right where you are. You'll go backwards if you're not fighting just to even stand stable and steadfast where you're. Not to mention if you want to progress forward. The Christian life, I mean, have you read this stuff? I mean, don't just forgive your enemies. Now you need to spend some time praying for them. There's not anybody in here who could say, yeah, I got that one covered. No problem. I'll do that. You're lying, so you just sin if you say that. We can do it, but you understand it shows us I can't do that in my own. I have to fight for that, man. That's I have to fight to stand stable and steadfast on that truth and to then progress forward and be able to mature to a place that happens. You understand? You got to fight for that because your sin nature is going to pull you away from that and pull you away from this foundation to get you out, and Satan's going to try to do that. Right? So we have to fight for your faith, to be disciplined in our faith day in and day out, even coming to church on Sunday. I mean, you're here, so, I mean, that's awesome, and you're watching, that's great too. You need that, and I want you to do that. But when we take it to the streets outside of here, even fighting to get here, you know, some of you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but it's a fight to get here this morning probably. It's not easy, is it? I mean, there's all kinds of things that kind of pop up on Sunday morning or Saturday night. You got to fight to come now. And then to take it from here to the parking lot into your life and tomorrow morning, you got to fight for that. To get up early enough tomorrow morning to open up your word and read it. You got to fight for that, don't you? That's not going to happen. It's not just going to happen. You got to fight for engaging and serving, man. You got to fight for reading the word. You got to fight for praying for your marriage and for your children and for your, I mean, that just doesn't come easy. You got to fight for that. And for us as a church to move forward to all the, not just for you personally, even, yes, definitely, but even for us as a church, I mean, we all have to fight for our faith and then fight for what God has for Grace Point Church to move forward, to fulfill vision that he has for Grace Point and the city and all these things. That's not going to come easy. There's a lot that press against you and me and us and in this world. So we have to fight for it and to be disciplined in my faith every single day. I have to do that. You have to do that. We have to do that. It's the whole burn the boats type thing. You know, we can't have a plan B when it comes to our faith. In order to enjoy rock solid faith, you cannot have a backup plan. Because if you do, you will always have one foot in and one foot out, ready to bolt at the first sign of difficulty. It's the whole burn the boats idea. Let me remind you of the story. Hernan Cortez landed on the beach in 1519 with his troops to begin the conquest of the Aztec Empire. And as the story is told, once they landed on the beach and all the boats were emptied and he gathered all the stuff out of the boats and he gathered all the men together and he said, now the first step to our victory is to burn the boats. And that's exactly what they did. So the message was clear. Then it is now. Retreat is easy when you have the option. Fighting for your faith, fighting for your family, fighting for your children, fighting for your marriage, fighting for your life means you go all in. When you do that, fighting for your faith, it doesn't come easy. We, like anything else, we have to fight for our faith. And then last, we need to fight through prayer. We need to fight through prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Now this term, without going into great detail, because I want to wind this thing up, this term that Paul uses, pray without ceasing, it's also a word used of repeated military assaults. And here's the idea behind the word. Is the military would move forward and engage in battle, then they retreat and regroup so they can then move forward and engage in battle, come back and regroup, move forward, engage in battle until they have found victory without ceasing. And so he's saying this is the same thing through prayer. I know you can't pray, you know, 24/7 every second of every day, pray without ceasing, but the idea is that you are continually communing with God, and you are consistently, faithfully praying over whatever it is that God has put on your heart. And you're fighting, you know, for your children, for your marriage, for your husband, for your wife. Pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18. There's a parable, verse 1 through 8, about praying. Listen to this. Jesus says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, let me just stop right there. So most parables, you don't get the purpose of the parable on the front end. He's already telling you what this parable is about. He told them a parable that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now he's going to show you an example of that. A parable of that. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? So he's saying, look, if the unjust judge does this, look at me, a loving, just God. How will I respond? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So without time to really dig into this, here's what I would say. When you're fighting the good fight, as a soldier of Christ, you fight through prayer. Many times, I know I do this, maybe you do this. I pray over it, and, you know, God doesn't, there's no answer immediately, so I just stop. Or I start to think, well, it's never going to change, and it's never going to, so I just stop. It's kind of like knocking. And that's about it. God doesn't answer right as I pray, or I get frustrated, and I no longer pray. Or maybe I've given ground to the enemy. I'm no longer praying. I'm not fighting through prayer. And this is what this parable is saying right here. You get it? That's what he's talking about. Not, oh, well, gosh, I prayed. Yeah, I prayed. Did you pray over that? Yeah, I did, man. It's been a good 5 on it. 5 minutes, right? And it didn't happen, and so we quit, and we give up, and we give ground. When this parable right here, it's clear. Persevere in prayer. Fight through prayer. Maybe you've given up, and maybe now God is saying to you, today is the day that you start again. Fight the good fight. Now, I'll close with this. Here's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean when you fight for your family, when you fight through for your faith, and when you fight through prayer, that everything you pray for in your life, everything's going to get answered exactly the way you want. I'm not saying that at all. God may answer it the way you're praying. He may not. But what I am saying is this, and here's what I believe we miss. I believe, and the scripture teaches that as you pray and as you fight through prayer, as you fight through worship, as you fight through God's word, as you continue to fight, through that fighting process, God is preparing you for his answer. It's happening as you're fighting. And when we don't fight, that's why we're not prepared for the answer. Because the way that you stay stable and steadfast is to fight the good fight. Let's pray together. Will you stand with me as we pray? We're going to sing just as a response to the Lord of worship. Maybe some of you, maybe you're tired, maybe you're weary, maybe it's I totally understand and get that. But I pray God restores your hope, renews your faith today, whatever is before you. And I pray he speaks to you through his word, and that your hearts and your minds and your eyes are shifted completely to him as we continue to worship this morning. Father, I pray you just take your word, God, and press into our hearts so that you draw us to you. And will you continue to speak, God, as only you can. We continue to have ears to hear, and our response this morning is just, I pray, a heart of worship I pray your truth, God, will wash over us as we sing Amazing Grace. And that we're thankful for your grace that covers us in all ways, sustains us, and provides for us. We're thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.